beautiful as always. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. I want to say I failed to mention that I believe Miss Debbie's going to have her test this week, maybe. I looked on there, so please continue to be in prayer for her. I think the 25th, maybe. I'll talk to her. It's Thursday.
Jeremy's going with her.
Jeremy's there. Okay. Continue to pray for her. I didn't mention that during the prayer time, but you should have. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, if you'll stand when you get that, please. Verses 1 and 2 this morning. It says, "And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry." Let's pray. Father, I just pray this morning that you will open our hearts, our eyes, and our ears to your word, to hear what the Spirit says to us. I just pray you help me deliver this as would be your will to receiving hearts. Help us glorify you in this and all that we do. In Christ's name, amen. Just two verses. And we read these two verses and we always want to go pretty fast to number three because we want to get to the villain of the movie, don't we? Everybody wants to see the action movies that has the villain, and it always has a little part to begin with, but you want to get to the action where the villain comes into play. Well, we don't need to do that so quickly. Because verse 1 and 2 really has a lot of information for us to have and remember and understand before we get to actually of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. When we were younger and when you were younger, and some of the younger ones in here, you probably have said to your parents at certain times when you were having disagreements, when you thought you were fully grown, but you really weren't, you probably said these words, "You just don't understand me. You don't understand what I'm going through." Okay? Well, let me tell you. We saw in the past verses here before that we have a Redeemer and a Savior that knows everything we go through, everything we will ever go through. He has in all counts been tested for us, that he would understand all things with us. And we saw that in the baptism of Jesus. Remember, we said that the baptism of Jesus showed that Jesus was being baptized, not because he actually needed to be, but because he was being identified with us when he started his ministry. He was being identified with those who he came to save. Sinless in himself, he took over sin, and God the Father judged him, or judged that, upon the cross. And I don't want us to forget or go past that either. Many times when we talk about Jesus' blood being shed on the cross, and it was, and it is through his blood that we are saved, we tend to pass over the fact of why that is the case, that Jesus took our sins upon him, and that's fine with us, but sometimes we don't talk about the fact that God judged him in our place upon the cross. Agonizing judgment that was supposed to happen to me. He judged his son on the cross with the sins that were laid upon him. And way back here before that time, Jesus is identifying himself with us. We have a Savior in heaven that identifies himself with us, with every single person in here. Individually, he knows you. We know each other, but we don't know everything about each other. What? Praise God, right? Good. But Jesus does. But he loves you and he identifies with you in every aspect of your life. You have a Savior that doesn't sit way far off as God and judges you. You have a Savior that identifies with you, has been through everything you will ever go through, and he was sinless in that fact and understands whatever you are going through. Hallelujah for that. And that's where this starts. Jesus was led up by the Spirit after he had been on that what we would call a mountaintop high, after the heavens were open and God the Father spoke to him and the Spirit came down like a dove and they were all together, the Trinity, after the baptism, after many people had been saved, after many people of Israel were coming out being baptized by John. I would call that kind of a mountaintop experience, wouldn't you? But immediately after that, the Bible says that the Spirit, King James says drove, but it's led Jesus or sent him into the wilderness. Many times that happens to us. If you've ever had the mountaintop experiences, you're up there, and then all of a sudden, in a few days, it seems like you didn't come down a little bit. It seems like, boy, where did this come from? I'm on the bottom. I'm in the wilderness now. Now, if Jesus is tested, we see, for example, for us, that he humanly lives, gives us the opportunity to live as he did. I don't want us to look at this scripture here, and when we get into it next week, the temptation that Jesus needed to be tempted, he went to be tempted. He went to be tested. In other words, what this whole section is going to show us is how we can live depending completely upon God the Father. That's the lesson. And that's what Jesus is showing us here, how we can live. He identified himself with us in baptism. Now he's going to identify himself with us in the wilderness through testing. And he's going to show us how we not are supposed to live, but how we can live. Understand, we humanly, through this lesson here, should realize we can live as Jesus lived. Okay? He didn't give us something that is impossible for us to do or impossible for us to live. The Holy Spirit that lighted on him in 3:16 now led him to a place where testing would occur. Jesus would do in this what Israel could not in fulfilling all righteousness. That's what he said. I must fulfill all righteousness, and that's what he did. They were tested in the wilderness for how long? For 40 years. When they refused to go into the promised land, the Lord brought them back. That generation, he said, I'm allowed to die off, but the new ones were born, and there was a whole generation that was there going 40 years into the wilderness, and God called this a testing. Okay? That's what he called it. Moses told them and reminded them of this in Deuteronomy 8 when he said to them, so he humbled you, and he allowed you to hunger. Now, every trip we have to the wilderness in life is not God ordained. God does not put evil on you. God does not tempt you in certain ways like that, tempt you in that. There are things that just simply happen in life because we have free will, right? Some of the things we do to ourselves, some of the things happen to us, and we are in the wilderness. But we're going to see that God is there. But then there are times that God does test us, and he leads us into the wilderness. These Hebrews were in the wilderness, and God tested them for these 40 years. And Moses said, what did he do for you? He just didn't punish you. He just didn't have you in the wilderness. What does it say he did? He humbled you. He humbled you. Sometimes we think, well, I'm pretty humble. I don't need to be humble before God. And the Lord said, nah, Jeff. Before I can test you, before I can teach you anything, before I can bring you to a loving relationship with me even more, I got to do something you don't want. I'm going to have to humble you a little bit. But Lord, I looked in the mirror. I haven't seen anything I need to be humble for lately. I'm a pretty humble guy. No, you're really not. Let me humble you a little bit. So he took them in the wilderness, and how did he humble them? Because I told you last week, the 30 days or the month's worth of rations that they brought to them out of Egypt in the wilderness, what happened to it? It ran out. And the water ran out. And there wasn't any water because they looked for it. And the little water that they found, history says you couldn't drink it. And the food, there was none in the wilderness because in the wilderness, nothing's growing. They couldn't even find animals for over 1 million people. So they came to a point in the wilderness to what happened? They grumbled against Moses because the only thing they humanly could think of to save their lives was to go where? Right back where they came from out of slavery. We need to go back to Egypt because the grapes and the pomegranates and all that, we were slaves, but we ate, right? We ate. And Moses said, no. God had to bring you to a place where you had to completely rely on him for your life. And he humbled them through that. But then the next few words, what did he say? He brought you to a place, he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and then the next word says, and he fed you. Amen. How did he feed them? What did it say? Moses said he fed you with manna that you didn't even know anything about. And your forefathers didn't know anything about it. You didn't know it existed. How many times are we in a place in our life and we're looking humanly to get ourselves out of the fix? And God says, I'm going to do something for you you don't even know exist. I'm with you. I'm going to humble you. But I'm going to give you something you don't even know I can give you. Because all you can see is human ahead of yourself, a little bit humanly. He told them in another passage, he said, here's what you're doing to me, Israel. He said, you're looking like on a horizon. You've been, those of you that have been to the ocean, you sat there and you look as far as you can see. But it's an end, doesn't it? There's a horizon. God said, that's what you're doing to me. You believe in me. You know I have so much power. But in your mind, you're fixing it. It may be way out there, but you're fixing a horizon for me. You're limiting me. Don't do that. There's no horizon with me. He told him here, I'm going to give you something you didn't know existed, and it's manna. He fed him quail too. But the manna came down every day. What's the amazing thing about the manna in the wilderness? It fed them, but what did it say? He told them how much they could gather. And if they gathered any more, what happened to it? It ruined. In other words, when they went out, they said, oh, God's given us this. But in case he doesn't give it tomorrow, let's gather double. God said, Why? Because Jesus told us what? My grace is sufficient unto you. Right? Even in the wilderness, my grace is sufficient unto you. When I give you a certain amount of manna, it's going to fill you. But you have to humbly know that I'm going to fill you again tomorrow. And I'm going to fill you again the next day. And I'm going to feel you again the next day. But you're going to run out of it for a while and you're going to have to depend on me again. See what the testing does? It's good for us, but we don't always like it. Then was the result. And Moses said, why did he do this? That he might make you know. Jesus quoted the Old Testament a lot, didn't he? Don't let anybody ever tell you the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. And what in the famous words we're going to get to here next week, here's what he said in the Old Testament. He said, Moses told him that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Amen. He told him that way back then. And then Jesus used it, what? To combat Satan. You see? His word. His word is like manna also. And it fills us. If we only could learn that and live by that. Verse 2 says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. It tells us that God leads through the test if we allow him to. Okay? Moses also said, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to test you. And the question is, why did he do it? And Moses answered, and he said this. This is our test. To know what's in your heart, whether you will keep his commands or not. He doesn't test us just to judge us and be mad at us. He's not mad at us. He loves us. He tests us to know in the wilderness if our hearts are going to turn to him, if we will keep his word, keep his commandments, depend on him for the manna every day, or not. It's a test. We might find out in heaven one day all of life has been one big test for us before God. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. And he tested you. This is for you and me. And Jesus shows it can be done as a man right here. That's what he's fixing to show us in these verses. We can pass the test as a man or woman or a child, depending on God through the Holy Spirit to lead us in his word. A better word really for tempted, it's not a really good translation here, tempted. The better word here is the one I've been saying, tested. That's what it really should say. And the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested by Satan. What it should be. But we need to understand the test or the temptation, if you want to call it that, was presented before Jesus, but he never moved an inch toward it. Don't take the word temptation to think that Jesus was actually tempted, as we have watered it down to me, that he was actually tempted to do it. No, he was not. There's some teachings out there that are kind of different, and that's not true. Warren Wiersbe says this, I'm going to quote him. He said, Jesus was not tested so that the Father could learn anything about his Son. The divine approval had already been given in Luke 4:1. It says Jesus was already full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, perfect with the Holy Spirit. Not that he had to be filled with it, but he was perfect with the Holy Spirit, for they are one, right? The test was to show every created thing and everybody that Jesus is conqueror and Lord of all. That's what his testing in the wilderness did. My testing's a little different. The Lord has to see my heart. But in Jesus' testing, it was to show that it was a done deal, really, to show that he was going to conquer. It's to show us how to live. It's to show us that we can live and that we can conquer through his victory, everything in life. That's what he's showing us here. He defeated for us already. And in this, he defeated what? He defeated temptations for us. The Bible tells me that God always gives me an out. And I look back over the things in life when I was tempted, when I failed. And if I'm honest and I look at them, I can say, you know what? I really had an out. I didn't have to do that. I thought I did at the time. I didn't have to do that. Jesus has defeated the temptations for us. Jesus has defeated fear for us. How many times in the Bible does it tell me, do not fear? Do not fear. He's defeated death for us. He defeated death, hell, and the grave on the cross. And I'm going to tell you what else. He defeated Satan for us. The old tempter, the old devil, the old accuser, the old liar that came to him in the wilderness was defeated before he ever got started, but he's defeated him for us. The only way he defeats me is when I allow him to. Although Jesus would have used could have used his divine powers to overcome the enemy, he used the same spiritual resources that are available to us, the Holy Spirit and God's Word. He's teaching us here. Don't miss it. It is available to me and it is available to you, and there's not going to be an excuse one day. Luke says he was tested the entire 40 days. We're only shown the last three tests here. It says he was tested by Satan the whole 40 days. We don't know what that was. Humanly, in the wilderness, tested the whole 40 days. By Satan. Satan doesn't test all of us. We say it's of Satan. Mostly it's probably demons, which is bad enough. But when Satan gets involved, it's because he's getting involved with something that's very serious and he wants to do a lot of damage with. He tested Job. He was allowed to. He tested Peter. He wanted to sift Peter as wheat, was allowed to. But demons test also. And it's just as serious. It's just as bad. But the wilderness that we find ourselves in sometime, we get confused sometime. God, we pray, am I in this wilderness through something I did? Are you putting me in the wilderness for a test? I know I'm here, but I don't know why. And I believe what he tells us is, don't worry about the why. Just look at me. Because I'm here with you. Because Jesus was tested in the wilderness. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The wilderness, when you look it up in the Greek, the definition, a solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited place, a lonely place. You ever been there? Sure. Sure. Seems like you're the only one there. And there's nothing. And there's no water. And there's no substance. And there's nothing there. Except you and Satan. That's what it seems like sometimes. Mark says the wild beasts were there. The wild beasts, we don't know what part that had in it. But you know, Satan tried to use all that he can. He wasn't just testing Jesus. He'd killed him if he could. You tried the whole time. Seem like to you wild beasts are tearing at you sometime? In the wilderness, in a place where you wonder if God is. But He is. Because we're taught right here that He is. He's there for us. Remember what God said to the Hebrews and said to Israel. He told them, I led you all the way. The whole 40 years, I led you all the way. I didn't leave you, just send you manna and watch you from a distance. I led you the whole time. And Moses told him again in Deuteronomy 31, the Lord your God, He is one who what? Who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You heard Jesus quote that before? Sure. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what He told them in the wilderness also. I'm not going to leave you even though I've got you in this wilderness. Look for me. Jesus, being the Word of God Himself, spoke to Joshua in this way. He said, so I will be with you. Again, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, when I tell you something, you can hope that I'll fulfill what I tell you. But when Jesus tells me something, to me, it's a done deal. He's never going to go back on. So He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. You see, He was forsaken on the cross. That's what judgment is, by His Father in heaven. He was forsaken so I would not have to be forsaken. Praise God for that. He shows us in the wilderness the tests and temptations will come. Think about this. He went from the cool waters of the Jordan to the barren wilderness. He went from the huge crowds that were friendly to Him to solitude or silence. He went from the Spirit resting upon Him to the Spirit leading Him into the wilderness. He went from a Father's loving voice to Satan's hisses. He went from being anointed, and He's still anointed, but He went from that to being attacked. And He went from heaven opening to the gates of hell. Seem that way sometime? You leave a good church service on Sunday morning, and the next week, all heck breaks loose. You don't understand why. God sustains us in the wilderness. The wisdom of the internet says a person can't, I looked it up, says a person can't live without bread and water most of the time past a week, especially 2 or 3 weeks. That's what it says. 40 days, if my math is correct, is almost what? 7 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that? No way he could have lived. What's the point of that? Why? 40 days. The point's not to say that a man can fast that long. The point was not really even on the fasting. The point is in the miraculous sustaining power of God, and Jesus totally humanly relied on it. He relied on God to sustain him for those 40 days in the wilderness without food and without water. Moses did the same thing. Remember? He went up on the mountain. God gave him the Ten Commandments. 40 days, the Bible says he didn't eat or drink. He came down. God sustained him. Remember that glow that he had? 40 days. God sustained. That's the miracle. That's the point. In the wilderness, God sustains when we rely upon Him. Elijah was on a fast for 40 days. God sustained him. The example to us, before we even get to the main thing of this chapter, his example is total dependence upon God. Jesus totally depended upon his heavenly Father as one of us. Not only as an example, but to be our Savior, to let us know in what we're going to study that in all points tempted, He knows what we go through. He knows what we've been through. It's been said that prayer, meditation, and temptation are the three best instructions for a gospel ministry. Read that again. It would be for you also. Prayer, meditation, and temptation are the three best instructions for a gospel minister or for any of you. The temptation's in there. The tests are in there. For if we are not tested, God can't bring us and teach us and increase our faith in Him and give us the total dependence that we need to have upon Him. It's total dependence and total obedience. And Jesus was obedient to the mission that His Father had for Him to accomplish. The Bible says He set His face like flint when He was going to the cross. He determined and He went because He knew it was His Father's will. Sometimes we just have to do that, don't we? Sometimes we just, well, all the time, we need to trust God, trust in His Word, set our face like flint. Some of us can be pretty hard-headed. That's not as hard for some as others. But set our face like flint and decide we're going to serve God. Decide that I'm going to believe what this says. Decide that no matter what, I'm going to depend on Him because I trust Him, because I've seen it in my life that He's going to supply me the manna every day I need. No, it may not be an overabundance like I want to put in my pocket, save for later, but it's everything I need every day through His grace. Hebrews 5 tells us Jesus learned obedience. Now he was not, he was not disobedient that he needed to learn obedience. Rather, what it means is that he experienced it. God experienced obedience, which he was going to be anyway. Jesus was going to never any doubt in that, but it means that he experienced it. He knows how it is to be obedient to his Father. He knows everything, I'm going to say it again, that we go through. He doesn't send us to the wilderness without him first having already been there. And then he doubles back around and he goes through it with us. He promised us that. And we, through the learning of this, need to realize that we need to depend upon him 100%, and that is faith. And he promises us, I'll never leave you.